coming from Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to pull out just verse 38 from the NIV. And it reads as follows. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And if you will, let's think on this thought today. The ultimate mother. The ultimate mother. And that's something that's on the inside. Come on out on the outside. Amen. Amen. God is good. Let us go to God in prayer. Most holy and all wise God, I just thank you for this moment in time right now. Lord, most of all, I thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, come in this place and have your way. Sit among us, Lord, and mandate change in our hearts. Lord, have your way in this church. Lord, move me out of self and have your way, God. For I am your woman and this is your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And again, our scripture will be coming from Luke, the first chapter, the 26 through 38. But again, I'll just pull out verse 38. It says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And the angel left her. For a subject again, the ultimate mother. The ultimate mother. Can I take my time today, church? Because y'all know I'm not going to be up here screaming and hollering at you, amen? All right. I mean, what an encounter we have here. The angel of the Lord showed up to an ordinary girl who was thinking more about her wedding than she was thinking about anything else. It was probably not on her list of priorities that day that she would be thinking about becoming a mother. Are you with me? Right. Where the mothers at in the house again? Raise your hand so I'll know where you're at. Right. Amen. So y'all going to know what I'm talking about, but this message is for everybody. Because everybody can be carriers of the word of God. Amen. Everybody. Because this is a spiritual thing. Amen. But what strikes me the most, more than anything else, that this angel came to an ordinary girl because what God is looking for in this generation is not extraordinary people. All right. You know those people with a silver spoon in their mouth or maybe at Ivy League college or live in an exclusive neighborhood, but he is looking for ordinary people who will make room in their hearts for him. So we have this average teenage girl who is prepared to say yes to a God assignment. An ordinary girl, no different from any other girl in her village, who was only thinking about her wedding. And the fact that she didn't drop dead, I mean, just think about it. How do you think you would react if an angel showed up to you? And I'm not talking about a little small angel with a harp singing Kumbaya. I'm talking about a big angel. Angels are big beings. So I'm talking about a big angel. And if they had showed up this morning in one of our bedrooms, we would probably still been stretched out across the floor.
All right.
Because, I mean, that would freak some people out. Amen?
Amen.
But it tells me that Mary was a God-fearing girl, even as a teenager, who wanted to do the right thing that was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you have a willing heart and say, yes, God, I'm available to your service, you don't have to be extraordinary for God to use you. You just have to prepare room in your heart for him in order to find favor with the Lord. Now, it seems that when we think of favor, we think, I am so blessed of the Lord. And some people walk around saying, I am blessed and highly favored.
All right.
And everything I touch turns to gold.
Amen.
I can live where I want to live, drive what I want to drive, eat what I want to eat, wear what I want to wear, and I can even go where I want to go.
All right.
But see, favor is for status. Favor is not for status. Because favor is not the things that we have. Favor is for God's purpose. Someone once said, if you have a pulse, you have purpose. Favor is not so we can sit down in a nice, soft, comfortable, complacent life. The favor was upon Mary, and he was about to mess her life up big time. God was about to interrupt her life in a huge way for his purpose. Amen? Because sometimes we think of favor is just for my next business deal or my next opportunity. But I've discovered in Scripture that favor is for God's purpose. I also heard someone say, the two most important dates in your life is the date that you were born and the date you find out why. Does anybody have a cell phone? How about calling Sister Esther up for me right now? Because I want you to know how God's favor was upon her life. But Esther was afraid as well. Esther already had it made in the palace. Esther had favor with the king. But Esther also knew that the king had a right-hand man, and his name was Haman. And Haman wanted to kill all of her family members. But Esther knew that she was going to have to do something. Esther knew that she was in that place for a time like this, that God could use her. So Esther made up in her mind that if I die, let me die. Because she knew if her plan fell through, that her head was on the chopping block. Amen? But she decided to allow God to use her for his purpose. You see, God opens doors for us and opportunities that make us look better than we ever are. And why does he do that? He does that so he can get some glory out of our life. He does that so we can make him famous in the earth. He does that so we can share him with other people and carry him to our generation. Because if you have been born, saved, born again, and filled with the Holy Spirit inside of us, that makes us carriers of God just like Mary. Just like Mary. Amen? And that's for his purpose. God says, can I go through you to touch a lost and broken world? Because let me tell you, when you conceive, and mothers, you can identify with this, you've got to be able to grow a bit. You've got to be able to stretch. And God is asking each of us, are you willing to grow? Are you willing to expand and embrace? Are you willing to enlarge? Because God is wanting to use you for his purpose. Or are you just settling for a nice, comfortable, cautious, cushy life? But see, Jesus did not come from heaven and earth to make us comfortable. He did not come from heaven and earth to make our lives nice and safe. He came to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So that we can make a difference in our generation. Yes, he has called us to bring us to a broken world. Now, you may say, we're living in the best of times. And that's true. But we're also living in the worst of times. Amen? The songwriter Bree sings, you don't have to look no further. Yes, I'll be the one. But the question is, will you be the one? It is all of our responsibility to carry the word of God. It is all of our responsibility, not just the preacher, not just the deacon, not just the teacher, but it is all of our responsibility to carry the word of God to a dying world. And we got to go beyond those doors and go out in the hedges and highways and carry God to them. Amen. You know, sometimes we pray to God, Lord, go by the hospital. Go by the rest home. Why don't you go by the hospital? Why don't you go by the rest home? Amen. We say, Lord, somebody needs a pair of shoes. Well, why don't you buy them a pair of shoes? Amen. And God looked at Mary, and he says, you are highly favored, Mary. And the angel said he wanted to use this ordinary teenage girl. So you see, you don't have to be old for God to use you. Am I talking to someone? Amen. We must realize that only what you do for God will matter. And even though we have a lot of fun in this world, we do what we want to do, we go places, we have fun. But in the end, only what you do for Christ is going to matter. All right. You see, there is a time for everything under the sun. But time is winding up. It's time to get to work for the Lord. It's time to let God use you while it's day. Because the next moment in time is not promised.
All right.
And maybe you'll understand it better if I put some Section 8 on it for you. Sometimes we feel discouraged because we feel like we fit into every government category. But it doesn't matter if you're poor, ethnic, a woman, marginalized, disabled, adopted, abused, discouraged. It doesn't matter what category society or the government puts you in, because our motto here, everybody is somebody. Amen? Because church, I've read the book, and my Bible tells me he has regained my life from the pit. And I don't need to be a victim. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. And the blessings of the Lord are yes and amen. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. See, your history does not need to define your destiny. Yes, God will use anybody if you're willing to be used by him. Now, here's this large angel telling Mary to fear not. Don't be scared, even though he just dropped a bombshell on her, that she was going to give birth to God. And what God is saying to us right there is the one thing we cannot let overcome us is fear.
Well,
because the greatest enemy to our potential is fear. Fear keeps us from stepping out of our comfort zone into our destiny. Amen. It turns up at every transition in life. And throughout scripture, you'll find when the children of Israel was about to cross over, there was always a sea in front of them. There was always a wall in front of them. There was always an army in front of them. There was always some kind of barrier.
All right.
Because the enemy will come in like a flood during your transitional period. And the mothers know what I'm talking about right here. The most transitional period of pain is when you're giving birth. Amen. It's during that transitional season where it's the most painful. It's during that time that you want to give up. It's during that time where you say, where is my faith? But it's during that time, some of y'all start screaming, where is the epidural? Amen. But I tell you what, I remember when my daughter told me that she was having her last child in Germany when they were on a tour of duty, and she cried out and she said, I need an epidural. And they looked at her from Germany and they thought, you're not in Kansas anymore, young lady, because we don't have epidurals over here in Germany. Amen. Because they let her know right quick, it was all about labor. It was all about labor. But how many of us know there's nothing too hard for God? Amen? You've got to make God bigger than what you're going through. You remember the songwriter Jacqueline Carr when she said, God is bigger than the universe. He is bigger than the sun and the stars. So see, I've heard the preacher also say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my God is with me. And he comforts me. I heard a songwriter sing, if you're going through hell, keep on going. You might get through before the devil even knows you're there. Amen. But sometimes we don't move forward because we stay in the valley too long. We have a pity party in the valley. We get our email in the valley. And before you know it, we've set up camp in the valley thinking that someone's going to come along and rescue us instead of keeping it moving. But you get sick and you're going to find out how many friends you really have that's going to come and see about you. Amen. So sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You have to pray for yourself.
Well,
we must grow up in Christ. We must grow up so we can be of use to him, not always crying to him. It's okay to cry out to the Lord, but we've got to grow up so he can use us. Amen. Mary had to face a transitional period in her life. So the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, I'm about to give you a divine assignment, but I don't want you to be afraid. Now, saying that, she also knew she was going to have to go to her fiance and tell him, Hey, guess what, Joe? This is so awesome. You may not believe me, but I was getting ready this morning, and an angel of the Lord came in, and I'm pregnant. What do you think he's going to say? Of course he didn't want to believe her. Of course he was confused and didn't understand what was going on. But see, the angel of the Lord came to him as well. Amen? And when you take on a God assignment, you may be ostracized from your family and friends. But because it doesn't come easy to carry God. Amen? Now, if you try to tell people the whole truth about the matter, or tell them that their lifestyle is not pleasing to God, and when you try to walk upright in front of your family, your community, your friends, and on your job, that's when they're ready to stone you. Amen? But it's time out for worrying whether or not they're going to like you. It's time out for worrying whether or not they're going to ostracize you. Because God said, if you're going to carry me, it comes with some risk. Amen? But hallelujah, those risks also come with some rewards. Mary knew that if she took a risk, and she took that risk, she knew that her family members might not believe her. She knew that her fiance might not believe her. She knew that her village might stone her. But she was willing to pay the price to carry Jesus. And the question is, are you willing to pay the price to carry Jesus to your generation? See, Mary knew it was going to cost her everything if she chose to say yes. And sometimes we don't like to come out of our comfort zones. We like to play it safe. And we began to say, but God. But God, I'm too busy. But God, who am I? But God, I don't have time. But God, I'm not eloquent. But God, I can't make a difference. But God, but God. But what if Mary had said, but God? But God, I'm a virgin. But God, this is not possible. But God, who's going to believe me? But we must realize it is not about what we can't do, but who he is. It's about what he can do through our lives. It's about the greatness of God. It's about stepping out on faith. I know we've been taught to live a safe and comfortable life. Do y'all remember the TV show, The Fear Factor? When they try to test you and see if you were going to take a risk to get past your fears? Well, it's time to stop letting fear be a factor in our life. Amen? You see, when fear comes knocking, let faith answer the door. Now, I know we're programmed to be safe. But as I said, there's nothing safe about living. So what are you afraid of? Somebody might say, well, what if I die? Newsflash, you won't get out of life alive. Amen? Death is the ultimate statistics. One out of one will die. So what are you fearing? Death is inevitable. But if you want to fear this. You should fear not having lived the life that God has called you to live. That's what we should fear if we're going to fear anything, not dying. Because we're living in the land of the dying. On our way to the land of the living. Because if you die in Christ, you will be with him forevermore. Hallelujah. That's enough to praise God right there. Stop worrying about on this side. On this side, some people say this is just a rehearsal. But this side is the land of the dying. This side, we want to make up to God what we need to do. This side, we need to get out in the hedges and highways and bring others to Christ. It's on this side. Because on the other side, it's going to be joy forevermore. Every day is going to be like Sunday. Amen? I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God when he spoke to Moses. And he said, I am that I am. That means my name is forever. In Revelations 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, as I close, Jesus said that he and the Father were one. He said in John chapter 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning he is the full revelation of God. John chapter 9, verse 17. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself.
All right.
I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again.
Uh-huh.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking about power. I'm talking about the power that God has. Not only does he have power, he has all power. Amen?
Amen.
And in John chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one.
Well.
And he also says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the true vine.
Uh-huh.
I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He also says, I am the resurrection. I'm talking about the great I am. In Revelations chapter 1 and 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys to hell and death. He also says he is the husbandman, and he's coming back again for a church. And he's coming back again for a bride of the church. And who is that bride? That's you. That's if you have accepted Christ as your Savior. He's coming looking for his bride. And you know how every groom is waiting to see that bride come through the door. And he's looking for his church to come through the door without a spot or a wrinkle. He don't want you to look warm. He wants you to get on fire for him. Amen. We got to get on fire for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
It is time to wake up and get up and take a stand for God.
Uh-huh.
God is looking for his bride. Oh, y'all know how the brides, they always primp. Everything has to be in place. The bride gets her nails done, her feet done, her hair, her makeup. She's doing her tasting. She's doing all the things to get ready to walk through that door. But my God is the husbandman. He said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And where I am, I will come back and receive you unto myself.
Uh-huh.
He's coming back again one day, church. And he's looking for a bride without a spot or a wrinkle. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for everybody who has accepted him as their Savior.
Uh-huh.
But he's looking for us right now on this side.
Yeah.
To get ready, get ready, get ready.
Uh-huh.
And let the Lord use you for his purpose.
Uh-huh.
It's time to let him use you for his purpose. Amen?
Amen.
And you see, all God is asking us, he's not asking us to go and prepare a place for us. He's already done that.
All right.
He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Uh-huh.
And he's gone to prepare a place for his bride. And he also says, you don't even have to worry about the banquet because he's already prepared a table for us. Amen. So only thing you have to do is get the invitation out. That's all you have to do. It's time for us to leave these doors and get the invitation out to a dying world.
Amen.
Let God use you.
Amen.
Because he is worthy to be praised. Amen?
Amen.
And in Revelations 22 and 20, surely I come quickly. Amen.
Yeah.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.